Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Get ready. It's time for a big exclusive with Valerie Denise Jones. Welcome to the show.
All right, guys. Welcome. Big exclusives. We've got a great show for you today. My name is Valerie Denise Jones. I am so happy that you joined us. I see we got a lot of people in the building. Yay! I'm really excited about today's topic, as well as today's guest. She is on fire, and I'm uber excited that she is. Why? Because the one and only Oprah Winfrey has left a lot of people in the dark about what her true intentions are. Really, she sparked outrage all over the internet, almost shut it down, probably did. I just don't know the current status, but everywhere I looked, people were just pissed. And I apologize for those who are under 13, and that word is a bad word. So anyway, it's just the best word to describe what is happening. But anyway, we are going to go on a journey. And what I want to do is I just want to ask you, today's show is going to be about an hour long. If your mic is open, just please make sure, because we got so much information and content to get out, that your background noise is at a minimum. Please do that, because we plan to plaster this all over the social stratosphere. We're going to put it everywhere we possibly can, because the word needs to get out. Why? Because almost every headline reads, Oprah Winfrey leaving Neverland is much bigger than Michael Jackson. The detailed graphic allegations in the documentary have stoked passionate debate. Yes, passionate debates are everywhere. So, hey, guys, for those of you who live on a rock, I want to play this audio clip for you so we can let you know why the house is divided. And when we come back, we will be joined by the one and only Pearl Jr. All right, so enjoy this audio clip. All right, when we come back, we will talk. Here we go. See you on the other side.
Oprah is getting a ton of backlash over her After Neverland special that aired last night. The show featured the two men who are the subject of the HBO documentary Leaving Neverland. Both allege Michael Jackson sexually abused them when they were young boys, allegations which Michael's estate has denounced. Let's take a look at the After Neverland special.
You let him down how? By speaking up?
Yeah, it just creeps out, you know?
So when all the fans and the estate and all the anger, you guys are going to get it. You know that, right? You're all going to get it. I'm going to get it. We're all going to get it. So are you prepared for that? You're not.
It's been happening for a while. I just received another death threat last night.
Oprah told the audience, which included about 100 abuse survivors, that the special transcends Michael. But the King of Pop's fans are not buying it. She's been called a fake, garbage, lots of snake emojis, tons of FUs, and things we can't even say on air. We're bringing in Melanie Bromley for this discussion. Thank you for joining us. Are you surprised at all that people are coming after Oprah?
No, of course not. You know, this is the thing. Michael Jackson was the biggest celebrity in the world at one point, and, you know, people, it's very, very difficult for people to separate his art from him as a person and what these boys are alleging. I actually think what Oprah did last night, well, first of all, what the boys have done is incredibly brave. And what she did as far as explaining a lot of the questions that people who don't understand molestation and sexual abuse, it would have helped people understand why their stories changed and why they had to go through a certain process in order to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, and it lets me know that Oprah hired a black Twitter analyst, because she knew the lingo, she knew the repercussions. She was like, they're going to come for us after this. They're going to do it, which lets me know that Oprah knew damn well what was going to happen and the backlash that she was going to get. But she felt so passionate about this that she stood up and still did this.
100%.
And she didn't have to do it.
No.
Because Oprah was chilling.
But to me, that's classic Oprah. That's what Oprah's done for years. That's why her show was so legendary.
No.
She had, yes, she did. She had child abusers on her show.
Oprah
she mentioned it. She did 218
shows.
Yeah.
No, she had it.
About
but
that.
Oprah's show was in the 90s and the 2000s, when social media wasn't around, when you couldn't get into hot water over a pronoun. Now, with social media, you say one thing, you make one step, and everyone's after your ass. That's why Oprah kind of took a back seat, because she saw the world changing, that everyone was a critic, and she was like, you know what? I'm bowing out. My legacy is untouched.
I don't think that's what it was.
No, I think she was done with the show, but I think what you said, the beginning of what you were saying was, it's Oprah believes these boys. She feels passionate about
this. I believe the boys, too.
By the way, I 100% believe everything that I saw, without question. And I think she wanted to step up and do the right thing. And I don't think Oprah's concerned about Twitter haters.
No. Here's the thing.
I think she is.
This is... No,
not about this instance.
Oprah was
sexually abused. Yes.
Yes.
And Oprah understands the mind of a victim more than anybody else. This is a story that is not about the back. Who cares what people say? It doesn't matter. I got backlash yesterday for sticking up for these boys yesterday on air. I don't care. Like, she did this story because she wanted to help other people. I always see celebrity news as like a Trojan horse. This has got so much attention, and this is actually going to help other people who have been sexually abused understand what's happened to them and how this happens. This is going to help mothers, fathers, parents, like, understand how easy this is for people to do to their own children, right? That's why Oprah did this. It does not matter. The hate that she gets does not matter.
That's it for today's Daily Pop, but don't worry, we do it every day. That's right, and be sure to click below.
All right, I just wanted to give them credit because that was Daily Pop. I grabbed that off of YouTube, so I want to make sure I pay tribute to them so that I wouldn't be get some kind of strike for any kind of copyright or plagiarism. I don't know what you call it when you use the audio. But anyway, guys, very, very serious topic. Very, very serious topic. People are under the impression that Oprah believed every word that came out of their mouth, even though today's guest is going to present things that would dispute that. We are going to do our very best to kind of exegete the text and the audio to understand if this was about the mind. Should we protect our victims? Is that her perspective? Or, you know, was this something bigger? Was this PR? I don't know. But let's go on and ask an expert. Welcome, Pearl Jr., to the show. How are you? I am tongue-tied because I am really, really excited about you being here today. But welcome to
Well, thank you, Valerie. I'm excited about being here.
Yes, yes, yes. So what's your mood like right now? Like if 10 was hot, spicy, where would you be between 1 and 10?
I would probably be a 10 because I was, as a journalist and as a reporter that's been covering Michael Jackson since I sat in the 2005 trial, I know so much information, and this is probably one of the worst times that we've experienced since 2005, as far as his legacy, his reputation, and the criminality of him molesting boys, which is a crime. But I'm here to tell everyone that there's no proof that Michael molested anybody, no proof. And perception may be bad if you don't know. It's kind of like judging a book by its cover instead of opening the book and reading the book. Once you read the book of Michael Jackson, you'll learn that he is totally, totally innocent. And his worst problem was he was naive. And he always grew up with people in his bedroom. I mean, he grew up with, you know, five brothers, and they had triple-decker bunk beds. When they went on tour as children, Joe couldn't afford, you know, everybody to have a separate room, so they shared beds, you know, and beds weren't a place for sex. And Michael had nieces and nephews spend the night. He had slumber parties. He had girls. He had boys spend the night. But the media perception is it was only boys, and it was just him and Michael sleeping in the room together. And Michael slept on the floor or on a cot, like Macaulay Culkin said. But Michael's bedroom was two stories. So there would be slumber parties, and they would be eating popcorns and candy and all that, and then they would just fall asleep. And if Michael happened to fall asleep, too, in the middle of a movie, then Michael would wake up and make a cot on the floor, and he would finish his sleep out either on the cot or on the floor. So it's not what people think. The perception is they think Michael and him are in the bed and they're cuddled up in the bed. Michael slept with his clothes on, you know, or his pajamas. And one thing that really disturbed me about their fairy tale, their pornographic, child-obsessed pornographic film, fairy tale fantasy called Leaving Neverland, is they never mentioned Michael Jackson's vitiligo. They never mentioned his blotchy skin. That is something that would probably scare a child, you know, where you see Michael, you know, just as handsome as can be and all put together. And then when he wants to get naked or he wants to have sex with you, you see black and white spots. So they did not mention Michael's vitiligo at all because they never saw Michael Jackson naked. And then they talked about Michael's hair being a Brillo pad, Wade Robson did. In the 1990s, Michael had already had the Pepsi burn. So Michael was already putting hair pieces and wigs in his hair. By 1990, he was almost straight. His hair was almost straight. It wasn't like his natural afro from the 1970s. So when Wade said it felt like a Brillo pad, what are you talking about? Wade at that time had a perm. For white people, when they have straight hair and they curl it, it's called a perm. But when black people have curly hair and they straight, it's called a relaxer. So Wade Robson had a pretty much a Jerry curl, okay? And so it would have felt the same because most of the wigs that Michael wore were based off of European hair. So, if Michael still had the Jerry curl type of hair, it would have been oily, and he didn't mention that. So all this is made up. It's a fantasy. It's a story that's been perfected through Wade first writing a book starting in around 2012 that nobody would touch, and then he ended up getting a lawyer. And this lawyer that he got, I guess, figured that, okay, we can try it, you know, especially since you have a book, and the book is convinced me, because with a book, and I'm an author, I've written 3 books, with a book, you can go back and you can double check your story, and you can get it right, and you can get all the chronology right, and you could stop the contradictions and all this other stuff. So that's where Wade perfected his story, was reading the book. And then when he filed a lawsuit against the estate in 2013, it was statute of limitations, but there are exceptions to statute of limitations. And since it was outside of statute of limitations, the judge still proceeded and the estate did too. And they weren't able to pass the smell test. He lied several times under oath, and we haven't even talked about the lying under oath that he did in 1993 at the deposition with his mother and his sister. And he was the first witness for the defense in Michael's 2005 trial, and he sustained, Michael never molested him, through a grueling prosecution. So now at 22, or when he was 22, he did that. He said he didn't know it was wrong. What do you mean you didn't know it was wrong? When the police are saying, did Michael touch your penis? Did he do this? Did he do that to you? And you're saying, no, come on, man. No, that's ridiculous. You know, I guess I'm the one that Michael's a pedophile. I guess I wasn't sexy enough, which is one of the things that he said he would revert to making a joke about it. But now he changes his mind, and it was his deep, dark secret and all this other stuff. And it doesn't even make sense because you would remember blotchy skin. You would say when Michael first, you know, had me give him oral sex, I remember it was blotchy. There's no mention of that. Okay? So and that's a big mistake that they've made.
Yeah, why don't we give a little backstory? First, your resume. I know like most know who you are, but let's quickly just tell everybody, just in case, why you're qualified to have this conversation.
Well, I'm a journalist, and I own a production company called Elbow Grease Productions, and I had independently produced a leased access, not public access, leased access, where I owned the show and I bought the airtime. For having that TV talk show, I got credentialed media in Michael Jackson's 2005 trial. And I covered that trial. I was in the courtroom, so I'm one of like 300 people who really knows what happened in that courtroom because there were no cameras allowed in that courtroom. And I reported, and I did, you know, 12 episodes of my TV show, one episode for every week of the trial. And through that, I learned in real time that Michael was not guilty, that he was innocent, and that he had no interest in having sex with little kids, and he wasn't a homosexual either. And you find that with the porn. Michael had a lot of adult porn, but it was all heterosexual, except for there were two girls, you know, there's, you know, girl on girl, but there were no male heterosexual porn in Michael's house in his locked briefcase in a locked little closet. So the kids couldn't get it, but Michael's fingerprints were on there. Michael had Hustler, Playboy, Penthouse. He had Black Starlets. He had Pimps Up, Hoes Down. He had plumpers for fat women, you know, and even his DNA was on, if you know what I mean, was on those magazines. No child's fingerprints were found on the magazines. No strange DNA was found on those magazines. Those were purely for Michael Jackson's enjoyment. The prosecution had been after Michael Jackson since 1993. And what they did was, oh, I'm a documentary filmmaker too, but I'll get into that later. But what the prosecution did, they had the boy touch a Playboy magazine, and then they presented it in court and see their kids' fingerprints on it. Well, the magazine was published several months after the kids left Neverland. So they were falsifying evidence, and they didn't think the defense was going to be sharp enough to catch that, but they did. So after I covered the trial, I decided, what am I going to do with it? So we decided to make a documentary, and it was called Michael Jackson, The Trial and Triumph of the King of Pop. And it really, in real time, it tells you, because it tells you why Michael Jackson was found not guilty on every single count. First, there were 10 counts, and then they didn't feel like they had a strong enough case. And then there were four extra counts of Michael Jackson added on to the case, and Michael was acquitted 14 out of 14 times. So the reason why I am qualified to speak on this is because I've been studying Michael Jackson as a profession now for 14 years, and I have written a book about Michael Jackson. I've done four documentaries on Michael Jackson. I have thousands of posts. I have thousands of hundreds of videos on YouTube. So I guess I could be called a Michael Jacksonologist.
Yeah, and I like that. That's super cute, actually. Yeah, so I want to make sure people understand. I was actually, I think I misspelled his last name, which is why I wasn't able to bring it up before you stopped talking. But give us a little backstory as it relates to this Wade guy, because he's been in and out of the news. And I just do not understand why Ray. Oh, I know why. I could, because I spell his name Robertson, and it's Robson, R-O-B-S-O-N. Yeah, can you tell us what you know about him? And then what I'd like to do is just break this article up that was that I found on Variety.com, because I'm trying to understand why would Oprah do this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, and we're going to get to Oprah. We're going to get to Oprah because. Yes, we're going to get to Oprah. I wrote some, with the first audio that she played, I wrote some notes down, so I'm ready for Oprah. But there's so much before Oprah, you know, and
okay.
I think we're doing a disservice by not giving the backstory. There's two guys.
Right.
There's Wade Robson and there's James Safechuck, okay? Safechuck met Michael in December 1986. He was doing a Pepsi commercial where Michael didn't hire him, Pepsi did. And they did a commercial together. Well, through that, they became friends, you know. And Michael liked to mentor young, talented kids, and he always wanted to tell them about some of the downfalls of being a child celebrity. So he befriended a lot of young kids for that reason. And he mentored them. He was a friend to them. He wanted to Michael also wanted to relive his childhood. He, you know, it's kind of like he's Benjamin Buttons, where he was older when he was younger, and then when he got younger, I mean, when he got older, he became younger. But James, and so with Wade Robson, he met Michael in 1990, and Michael was performing in Australia because Wade is from Australia, and he was a five-year-old little boy, and he, it was 88, one of the years. He was 5 years old when Michael finally first knew him, and he won a dance contest, and the prize for the dance contest is you can meet Michael Jackson. So they got to meet Michael Jackson. He was 5 years old. He got to meet him. So then time passed, and something else happened, and the mother was a kind of an aggressive stage mom, and they got back in touch with Michael, and then they became friends like around 1990. Michael had invited them out to Neverland, and Michael was helping Wade with his career and thought he was talented and wanted to mentor the boy again. And the grandparents came, and the mother and the father and the brother and the sister came. And that's what people don't realize. There were whole families there. It wasn't just Michael and one kid. And Michael showed them the time of their life. And then the parents left Wade there, according to Leaving Neverland, left Wade there for 5 years, 5 days. And you got to remember, everything in this documentary has not been fact-checked. So we don't know what's true and what's not true in Leaving Neverland, because it's only words intertwined with footage of them with Michael, because Michael did know him and they were friends, but Michael was friends with the entire family. So both of them now are claiming, even though they for 30 years, for 20, 30 years, they said Michael never molested them. All of a sudden, both of them break down around the same time and say Michael did molest them, and then they want to sue the estate and get rich and never have to work and finance their movies and finance whatever other dreams that they have, you know. And they remember Jordy Chandler, which was the first accuser, and the father is the one that sued Michael Jackson. He's the one that wanted, asked Michael to pay for, finance a movie, because he was a dentist who wanted to get into the movie business. So there was Men in Tights, and he wanted to do that. It was Men in Tights 2, I think. And he wanted Michael to finance it. Michael said no. And then he wanted Michael to build a wing onto his house, an extra wing, you know, bedroom, bathroom, hallway on his house. Michael said no. And he got mad, and he sued. Michael was really attracted to the little boy's mother. Her name was June. She was a biracial woman. She was Black and Asian. And Jordy, a lot of people think Jordy is white. Jordy is not. His father was Jewish, white, but the mother was Black and Asian. Michael really had a crush on June, and that's what I found out in the 2005 trial, that he really liked her. He was buying her all the jewelry. And there was also a sister there, so they were always together as a family. So, and Michael was being a mentor and doing what he thought was the right thing to do. His father was a father, no matter how stern Joe was. He was a dad, and he was a manager, and he took care of those boys, took care of that family. And so Michael wanted to kind of just give back, and he was friends. So anyway, Michael was talked into settling the first case because Michael was on tour when the allegation came down. Michael had to cancel his tour, and all tours have cancellation insurance. So with the money that Michael got from canceling his tour, because he was addicted to pain pills that his doctors addicted him to, he was able to cancel and able to get insurance. Well, since he had the insurance money, they talked him into settling. Okay, there's a signed affidavit by Michael Jackson's lawyer, Brian Oxman, that said the insurance negotiated and paid that settlement. So they became a part of it because it was not only the drug, but it was also the stress that he was under for the allegations. So the insurance wanted to make sure that, you know, it was legit, that the reason for canceling was a payable reason. So they investigated, and that's why Michael Jackson paid that first thing. But then Evan Chandler got greedy, and it was a confidential settlement. Evan Chandler got greedy, and a few years later, he sued Michael Jackson again for $60 million, okay, because the money that they got, I don't know if it's 10, 15, 20, 22, it's somewhere in there, okay, $1 million. So the father was greedy, and he decided to sue Michael a few years later for $60 million, because he said Michael broke the contract of confidentiality, because Michael did the History album where Michael is saying, "You did me wrong, Tom Sneddon," and all this other stuff. But that didn't work, because it was not the breach of the terms of the confidentiality agreement, which means you can't discuss the terms of the agreement. Didn't say you can't express how upset you are. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. He lost that case. So with the two guys, and then the 2005 case was just ridiculous. Michael spooned the boy in bed and accused of showing some porn, and that was a straight extortion attempt, because they went to the same lawyers as the first guy did. Didn't go to the police, uh-huh. Went to the lawyers. But uh-huh. since the settlement stopped that lawsuit, and what's very, very important, with the first allegation, he still had 3 years to file criminal charges. And back at the first allegation, two grand juries refused to indict Michael Jackson. They took pictures of his penis and his body twice, okay, because the boy described a circumcised penis, but Michael was uncircumcised, and the boy said there were spots on the penis, but the spots did not match. Okay, and I don't know why Wade and them were so stupid not to bring that up. And you know why I don't think they brought it up? Because no kid would want to have sex with a man that's spotted up. That's unattractive. So they wanted to make it seem like it was man-boy love, and Michael was so attractive, and nothing nasty was about it as an excuse why they kept going back. I mean, so it's all.
Well, where do you think that they got that idea? I mean, how did they know that he had spots down there anyway? Like, I was always
because Michael had vitiligo. It was, but Michael had vitiligo.
I mean, but their
okay.
kids did the parents plant that in their head? How
yes,
would they know?
That's right. Know? That's right. Michael had vitiligo. Period. Okay. It was brought up in the 2005 trial. There's plenty of pictures of Michael changing colors and spots all over his body. They knew. And when you look up vitiligo, it's not hard, but you got to remember Evan is a doctor. He's a dentist. So when you look up and what do? They look up ailments. Vitiligo starts at the penis. That's one of the main places that it starts. It tells you that like within the first three or four paragraphs, when you look up a vitiligo, it starts in the genital area. So what he was doing was he was trying to prove his case because he wanted to get paid, right? So as a doctor,
right.
you want to do research, right?
Right?
It's just that simple. But the spots didn't match. And it's obvious that Michael had the vitiligo because Michael tried to cover it up until around the 90s. Okay, he tried. He was embarrassed, you know. He was ashamed, you know. He had the bald scalp, and then the nose jobs, and then the vitiligo. You know, he was very self-conscious about how he looked, you know. And so for Wade and Jenny not to bring up the vitiligo, and Oprah too. Let me tell you, when Oprah interviewed Michael in 1993, and it was the most highest-rated interview at that time. She asked him about his skin tone, and he said he had vitiligo, and she said, when did it start? And he said, between Off the Wall and Thriller. So that's between the late 70s and the early 80s. Well, vitiligo is a long degenerative disease. It starts in one place, and then it just kind of grows, and it just kind of moves all over the body until eventually it takes over your whole body and all your pigmentation is gone. But that's the goal of vitiligo. That's the goal of the disease, to take away your pigmentation. And so in 86 and in 90, Michael had a lot of vitiligo, okay? And there's no way that they could be naked and nude and oral sex and anal penetration and all this other stuff and fingers up the butt. And this is what was in the documentaries without seeing the vitiligo. And that mm-hmm. would be a part of their memory process. You see what I mean? If they ever saw Michael
right.
naked, they never did.
Right. What a risk they were taking, you know, trying to be so descriptive. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, it's not like the marks would move. So, wow. I mean.
No, they didn't mention vitiligo at all. They didn't
yeah.
mention it at
no,
all.
No, I meant
it
early on.
When,
you know, early on, like the first series of the one that you put him in jail.
Jordy was
like,
a part of Michael since 92. No, Michael,
right.
no. Jordy's after he supposedly started. You got to remember, James says he was the first one in 86.
Right.
And then
gotcha.
Robeson said he was the next one in 90, but then Jordy Chandler was the first allegation, but that's they met him in 92.
Uh-huh.
You see what
wow.
I mean? Yeah, so it's
right.
kind of backwards a little bit, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But you got to mm-hmm. keep up with the times. Yeah, so anyway,
right.
so that's why I knew, because I was waiting for them to talk about Michael's vitiligo. I was waiting for it in the documentary,
right.
and they never, ever brought it up.
Gotcha.
Never.
Now,
mm-hmm.
this documentary that program, I guess this is Oprah Winfrey's program, will air on March. Well, actually, that was yesterday, so it's already out.
Yeah, it already aired. Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I got my dates crossed. I apologize. So I want to ask a couple, because I just looked at the time, and I've only got you for another 30 minutes. So I read, like I mentioned earlier, I read an article, Variety.com, and it basically the undertone was that Oprah was courting controversy, and that's one of the main reasons she kept, she said, you know, I'm going to get it, you're going to get it, we're all going to get it, and she said it jokingly, and then I guess what really had, like, the fans and the people who watched and those who were kind of neutral, you know, I think what pulled at their heartstring was that, you know, there was a mention of, you know, this was more about sexual abuse and, you know, it doesn't really, really matter who you're pointing the finger at. And she actually said during their interview, beware of people who just want to be around your children. And then also, too, I know that there were, like, survivors in the audience. I know you saw that. And those people were, of course, strategically placed. But it was like she kind of, like, played on a hot topic, you know what I mean? A lot of us thought she was doing this for her friend Harvey Weinstein, or was she talking about her own past, or, like, I didn't know which direction to go with this whole thing. I didn't have a chance to really, you know, watch the whole interview, so I'm definitely depending on you to really bring me and everybody else who was confused, you know, keep us abreast of what's going on. But, yeah, can you start from...
Sure. Yes, I will. Leaving Neverland exhibited at the Sundance Film Festival, which was January 25th. A few days after that, it was Oprah's birthday. Oprah and Gail were invited to David Geffen, who is a powerhouse in the entertainment industry, invited to his yacht and for Oprah's birthday. Okay. So you don't just get on David Geffen's yacht. You got to be invited by David Geffen, right? And he does have parties on his yacht. Now, what is David – and they watched Leaving Neverland. Now, why do they have a copy, right? Why do they have a copy? They must have some inside power or something, because it only exhibited at Sundance. So they must have got a copy because of who they are. That's what I thought. It was innocent, right? I had no idea. Mm-hmm. So then Gail comes out and says, oh, you know, after seeing this, oh, Michael's guilty. You know, she's pretty much convinced, you know, that he's guilty. Now, rewind back in 2005. Oprah believed that Michael Jackson was guilty. Everything she insinuated that he was guilty in 2005. She was molded, if I can use an Ebonic word from the back in the day, when he was acquitted. And her response was, I guess we'll never know the truth. Oh, so the only truth that you'll accept is that he's a pedophile? If he's not proven to be a pedophile, that's not the truth, right? I mean, that's a deep statement, saying that the only thing that's true is that he is a pedophile. So fans were upset with Oprah. Fans were upset with Oprah back then. After the death announcement, after Michael was announced dead, Oprah courted the family. The Jackson family went over to Havenhurst, the Encino Mansion, and interviewed Paris Prince and Blanket, Catherine, and some more nieces and nephews, right? Then after that, LaToya had her reality show on Oprah's network, okay? Didn't last long, but it was on there. So now you think, oh, they done kissed and made up now, okay? Because the fans were mad at the family for having Oprah at the house, right? We were on Oprah saying, Oprah, you don't know more than the FBI that investigated Michael for 10 years. Oprah, you don't know more than two grand juries that heard the evidence and refused to indict Michael Jackson. You heard the saying, they'll indict a ham sandwich. Well, they didn't indict Michael Jackson because the pictures that they took of the boy's description did not match both times, did not match. Okay, Evan was doing his research because he's suing for $30 million. That was the original price of the lawsuit, $30 million. So you're going to do some research if you think you can get $30 million from somebody you know got the $30 million. Okay, so and Oprah didn't know more than the LAPD that investigated the case. Oprah doesn't know more than the Santa Barbara district attorney who was not able to get Michael Jackson indicted. So Oprah, she didn't sit in that courtroom and listen to 12 to 13 weeks of testimony. So who is she to say who's guilty and who's innocent, right? So I did a video about that. Like, Oprah, you don't know, girl. Now, Oprah has her own child sexual abuse issues. So anybody that has been abused, okay? We'll think everybody else was abused, okay? If they can't deal with it and they just can't just forget about it and just move on in life and say something happened. Some people can, some people can't. Some people are like, well, shoot, that happened, but you know what? I'm still cool and I'm still good. And some people, they just can't move past it. They're so hurt and they're so devastated because people come in all kinds of varieties and different emotional states, and different things happen to different people to make them be able to accept it or not accept it. You know, we're all a bunch of psychological, you know, mysteries. Okay. So Oprah is, and then Oprah also was accused of, her school in Africa was also accused around the 2005, 2006 of lesbian pedophilia at her school, and they were acquitted. Okay. Then I find out that Oprah's dad was accused of sexual abuse, and Oprah paid, I read this in an article, Oprah paid $50,000. So Oprah can't talk about hush money that Michael paid, because who are you? Okay, now let's go to current. David Geffen must have recruited Oprah Winfrey, okay, and Gail, because Gail came back on the Today Show, and she started interviewing the boys, I think she interviewed Wade and James. She interviewed Taj Jackson. She interviewed the lawyer for the estate, Howard Wiseman. Okay, so Gail is in on the mix, right? And then we find out Oprah is going to be part of this, part of the launch. She's doing an after show, and HBO's going to air it. And we're like, whoa! So that's what they were chit-chatting on the yacht. They were preparing for that on the yacht. Okay, now Oprah did that interview with Michael in 93. HBO had a contract with Michael because they aired Michael's Dangerous tour, because Michael hasn't toured in the USA since the Bad tour. So Michael wanted to do something for the American fans, and they made a deal with HBO, and they recorded Michael Jackson live in Bucharest, which was their highest rated show up until that date. Okay, but Michael also canceled another HBO special that was supposed to air on December 10th, 1995, but he got sick and he was in the hospital, so he had to cancel. So I don't know if HBO got bad grapes from that last one. But anyway, back to the 92 deal. They signed a contract, and in the contract was the supplemental confidentiality provision. And what that provision said is that they, HBO or any of its affiliates, forever, in perpetuity, perpetually, means never ends, cannot disparage Michael Jackson. And if they do, they can get injunctive relief, and they can stop the airing of it, and they can also own that property. Well, the estate filed a lawsuit, and they attached that provision. Now, Oprah, who interviewed Michael 7 months later, which was February 1993, okay, she probably had the same confidentiality agreement, okay, that she's not supposed to disparage him. So that's why she made her show into some kind of therapeutic show with 100 survivors, which means that it was just skewed, you know, and it was a strategic move. And it was a friendly audience to these liars, these guys that have been saying Michael never molested them for years. And then the stories that they tell, one of them tells the story that Michael told him, I bought Neverland for you. I mean, come on. I mean, really? And I here's a wedding ring, and they did a mock wedding, okay? Michael, after that, did his Moonwalker movie. Michael did his Moonwalker movie after that, right? How come Michael didn't hire that his boyfriend to play one of the two kids, one of the two boys in it? You see?
Right.
So it just doesn't make sense. So with Oprah, I'm just going to go back with Oprah and that audio that she played at the beginning. They said fans can't separate Michael Jackson, the human, from the artist. Michael Jackson fans are the most researched, the most dedicated, motivated to learn the truth fans, people I've ever encountered in my life. The Michael Jackson fan community, I've been a part of it now for 14 years. Yes, there's different segments in it, and all of them aren't good, just like with every other group of people. Some are good and some are bad, but they do their research, okay? So they do separate the artist from the man. Wade and James are the absolute wrong people to be poster boys for child molestation because of their continuous lies. And now, mm-hmm. because Oprah and HBO and Dan Reed, who is a very salacious filmmaker, very tricky, it was that Leaving Neverland was nothing but manipulation. Now that when the state gets their hands on this documentary and all the lies that are told in it and all the stupidity in it, and then they're going to be proven liars once again, because in the documentary, their family is supposed to be there as witnesses, and this is the funniest part. The family's supposed to be there in the documentary as witnesses, but guess what? They didn't witness nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the craziest. It's just, it's movie right. magic. It's movie right. magic.
So just to make sure we're totally clear, what are you saying Oprah's reason for befriending the family was? Is she an opportunist? Was she using this family all along? Because, I mean, it seems like she has been, like, slowly just however she navigated it was from the perspective of a victim. Like, I don't think she ever forgave Michael for what she assumed to be true.
I think that the perception, if you want to look at it, like me, for example, I could sleep in a bed with a million kids to the day I die and never have an inkling to have sex with them, you know? So, I mean, so are the people who are so, like, if you sleep with them, you know, dang, why else would you do it? Because, you know, they're sexy. Kids are sexy, right? I mean, come on. Do you think a kid's sexy? I don't.
No.
You know?
No.
If your daughter was having a sleepover and she's used to sleeping with you and she says, Mom, can we sleep with you? You'd probably say, yeah. And the little girl would be there too. You know, but I'm not saying that that's what Michael did. I wasn't in the room with him, but I know he did. It's no secret that he had slumber parties because even Wade's sister said she slept in Michael's room before. Michael's makeup uh-huh. artist said she slept in Michael's room. Michael's nephews and nieces have said they slept in Michael's bed, you know, because Michael had this huge, like this bigger bed than a king size, like even bigger
right.
than California King, a custom huge bed. Okay,
right.
And probably six people can sleep on that bed. You know what I mean?
Well, I understand that part, but I'm saying, why do you think that today, 2019, okay. March, why would Oprah betray the family that way? Why would she, you know, try to taint his legacy the way that, I don't know, outside of her being an opportunist, outside of her trying to court controversy, why would she do this to the family and to his legacy?
She's hiding under the disguise of I want to be a savior for child abuse victims. You got to remember that. That is her thing. She had 200 and something shows on child abuse sex, okay, child sexual abuse. So she considers herself a savior and a good person to do this. So maybe
this
that. Maybe
like
David Geffen. Maybe. Huh?
Like a Jussie Smollett reenactment, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like
no.
a person who wants to be a martyr, the face of some kind of campaign, all in the name of the fact that they are part of that.
Well,
you know,
well,
that,
Jussie
that
wanted to do
that
it.
Agenda.
Well, Jussie said the reports are he did it because he wanted to raise at his job. Okay, and he used that. Oprah really is kind of someone who wants to be a savior. We know that about her. Did David Geffen call
him
a savior?
The gay Tupac, and he said he was doing this for all the little gay boys, you know. So I'm saying is you think Oprah, again, kind of like Michael, who never grew up. She never moved on from that moment when she was first molested. You know what I mean? And has
well,
spent
yeah.
the rest of her life from that space. And never
well,
forgave,
you know,
and never,
I think,
that's why she never had kids or never got married or, you know what I'm saying, like maybe had lesbian relationships, allegedly, whatever, but never moved from that. And the same with Jussie wanting to be, hey, you know what, I'm the gay Tupac. I'm going to be the person who does XYZ for my people, these people, the gay, all these people can't defend themselves. So Michael, same thing, you know, he never grew up and was, you know what I'm saying, like had difficulty expressing to other people who couldn't understand why a grown man would do this or whatever. But, you know, people just kind of like they kind of got stuck, you know, somewhere in the matrix. And I'm just saying, well, you think that it's just sad that she could pull this off for that many decades. And I just don't understand.
I think she does have a messiah complex. I think she does have a messiah complex, but there's no way in the world that I can answer that question. Nobody can. I wonder if she can even answer the question herself. All we can do as outsiders is kind of look at the surrounding issues and surrounding circumstances and try to draw a conclusion. I believe that David Geffen called in a favor and wanted her a part of it. And I don't know what this is to David Geffen. I have no idea what this is to him, why he's even involved, why he would even want to watch that on Oprah's birthday. It had to be some purpose for that, okay? Because it's a sad,
sickening thing. And then this is the guy that was on the...
Now, David Geffen is a homosexual. He is gay. David Geffen is gay, okay? This is a gay pedophile love story, okay? This is a gay pedophile love story. As sick as that is, that's what this is. And when Oprah said to the audience, when James and Wade kept saying, it feels good, right? It felt good. You know, we liked it. We liked it. We loved him. We were in love, right? Oprah said, yeah, because it feels good. It feels good to having your penis rubbed. It feels good. And the audience was like, you know, nobody applauded because she went overboard that time. She went overboard. So she was trying to probably get out of her confidentiality with no disparaging, and she was trying to do the psychobabble part, the psychology, even though there is psychology, but not with these guys, because these guys are liars, and their stories are just too stupid and too ridiculous to be believed. Michael had hundreds of times of sex all over Neverland. Michael had maids. Michael had gardeners. Michael had people that worked on mechanics, handymen. He had children. He had cousins. He had family members. Neverland was full of people. He had security. You know what I mean? So for James to say they had sex in the teepee and then up in the train station and there and there and there. You know, in the wedding, and Michael bought it for him, and you know, it just gets to, and I think James is mentally ill. I think James Safechuck is mentally ill. Okay, as far as Wade is just greedy and determined. And I think when it was announced that Michael was dead, because Michael was Wade's inspiration, Michael was Wade's motivation. Wade idolized Michael. The mother said that Wade cried more when Michael was announced dead than when his own father committed suicide. And Wade's father committed suicide because the family abandoned him and left him for Michael Jackson for a career in Hollywood. And this when the father was left in Australia, and he ended up being bipolar, and he ended up having mental issues, and he ended up hanging himself and killing himself, okay? So we're talking about a history or some psychological issues. So Wade started losing it because now after Michael was announced dead, Wade started getting all these big gigs. So his dream of being the big Hollywood director, like Michael told him he would be, started falling apart because he couldn't handle the job. He wasn't up to snuff. He couldn't do it. So then he got let go of this movie this big Hollywood called Step Up movie that he was doing that was about dancers and all this other stuff. He got let go from that, and then he tried to do the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show, and they said, no, it's too late. We don't want you now. You brushed us off, so we don't want you now. And then he fell apart. He was like, how dare you? And I believe that Wade decided that he wanted that Michael owed him. Michael owed him for losing his dad, for them coming out here, and he deserved to have that show. And when he didn't have that show, and then he was a new father, and he had the pressures of being a new father, he decided that he was going to concoct this scheme and that he would, you know, get rich, and his wife would still love him because money stops coming in. Because Wade really hasn't had a job in years, but the wife has she's Hawaiian. She owns a bookstore and a cafe in Hawaii. Okay, and then they opened up a charity 2 weeks before. I know I'm getting off Oprah because Oprah really isn't the topic, but they opened up a charity 2 weeks before it aired in Sundance, the Leaving Neverland, and the minimum investment, the minimum donation they're asking for is $250, $500, $1,000. Really? You know, so it's a money grab once you look at it. Now, if we want to get back to Oprah, I'm not Oprah. I don't know. Oprah is a very, very successful person, and she has done a lot of good things for a lot of people. You cannot give, you cannot negate that she has done a lot of good things for a lot of people, and she is the one that the seas parted for. She is the chosen one. She is the billionaire. Now, Oprah has no children, okay? Is, you know, just like Bill Cosby and all these other, you know, and I believe R. Kelly is guilty because those tears from all those women, those were real to me. Wade and them didn't cry, okay? At the very end, Wade forced himself for a little bit of a tear, you know, but it was phony and it probably, they probably had to make him cry. He had to think about something that hurt him and then, you know, cry. But Oprah, far as I know, she could be a part of I don't know, maybe her, maybe they want the money back from her. You know, she doesn't have any kids, you know, and right now the only people she's probably going to leave the money for are the African, her African female students, and she's worth billions. So are they trying to destroy, have Oprah go down with the ship? I don't know. You know,
well,
Oprah,
you know,
you
know how a lot of times the conspiracy theorists always, they always talk about, you know, after you, you earn a certain amount, then you have to sacrifice something. It may, they, you know, maybe it may be her time, you know, to pay the piper, so to speak. I want, and they're using her to do that. I don't want to move too far from the yacht. So the film was showcased on the yacht. So people who were on the yacht watched it.
The only people that were in the pictures, the only people that were in the pictures that Gail posted were Oprah,
right.
Gail, Gail's son, and David Geffen. I don't know who else was
and
on
they,
the yacht.
And they got a chance to watch the documentary on the yacht, correct?
Yes, a few days after Sundance, and why did they have a copy? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that there's that question. And then also, too, you mentioned there's a correlation between, which I want to make one, it just doesn't seem like for our concern with the truth. And it's going to be one of two things. Again, either it's time to pay the piper, and they're using Oprah to do that. You know, it's about an agenda. Or hurt people, because you mentioned all these people who were hurt by, you know, or presumed hurt, you know, they didn't know what to do with all this pain, so they hurt other people who were not intentionally hurting them, or it was assumed that they were hurting them. But I want to ask you, because when you mentioned R. Kelly, it sparked a thought, and I was like, that whole thing was laced with untruths. Like, they just, I mean, there was no alleged, these people were lying. A lot of the people who were featured in the movie were lying. A lot of people who were featured were hypocrites and had their own storyline. You know what I mean? Charlamagne, the guy who had been accused of something very, very similar, and they used him. But it was just like so many lies came out against these people. And then here we are again, same situation, people who you could prove that these people have recanted their stories, but they're still, for whatever reason, glorifying this story. So there has to be something else going on behind the scenes, something else that they're pushing, which is why they are in a lap. They are allowing these people's legacy, you know, to be tainted this way. And people are not concerned with the truth, absolutely not concerned with the truth at all, and will go to any extent, you know, to make their point, whatever that point is.
Well, with R. Kelly, we do know he married a 15-year-old. That is a fact, okay? That is a fact. That
but
he
I'm
married
talking about,
a 15-year-old.
Like, reviving R. Kelly. I'm talking about the movie. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
but what I'm saying is R. Kelly, we have proof with R. Kelly that he was into underage girls. We have proof of that.
Totally.
And there's several tapes of R. Kelly. So it maybe some people aren't telling the truth and some people aren't lying, but what is the truth? What is the truth is enough to say that he was a pedophile of young girls, a predator of young girls.
Gotcha.
So, so you know, everybody, you're not going to find in an investigation everything to be true, but if you find the material truth in it, then that's the material truth in it. With Michael, you have nothing. You have no videotape, which Michael sued for, because there was supposed to be a videotape of Michael Jackson having sex with a kid. Michael, in 96, sued for that videotape. He said, bring the tape. He sued him. Okay? And if Michael was guilty and he had sex with any kid, he wouldn't have sued anybody for any tape. Do you understand?
Right.
Because the only way you know that there's not a tape is if you didn't do it. Because Michael had an inspected gadget briefcase where he knew all the surveillance equipment. He knew all the tricks. He knew about bugs. He knew about hidden cameras. He knew about all that stuff. And Michael still sued. And Michael ended up winning a defamation case from this sicko named Victor Gutierrez, in which Robeson and Faithchuk take a lot of their notes from. Okay, in this book, and they said, and then and Diane Diamond and all this, and this guy ended up being a liar, and Michael won a $2.7 million judgment. Okay, the maids who said they saw something, they're called the Neverland Five. They were, you know, security guards that worked for Michael. They started stealing his stuff. They were selling their stories to tabloids, and Michael sued them, and Michael ended up winning another $1.4 million from them. So even though he settled in 93, he was sick of the lies, because he learned after he settled that you give them an inch, they want them, you know, they want a mile. You give them a rope, they want to be a cowboy, right? So then they just kept doing bad things. So that's why he finally sued them. But we didn't get a lot of press on Michael suing to establish his reputation as a good person who has genuine love for kids that was not sexual. You see, so when you look further, you don't find anything that says that Michael Jackson is a pedophile. You find nothing but words coming out of people's mouths, and you find out when they had a chance to put who they considered a pedophile behind bars, they did not. Because even after the 93 verdict where he settled, they still had 3 years to file charges on Michael, okay? But instead, he sued them again for $60 million. Just like Wade. Right. Wade and this other guy is suing the estate for hundreds of millions of dollars. Right. You see? Drop the case. And then they're saying that they weren't paid a penny to do the documentary. I bet you, well, did HBO or did Dan Reed pay your legal fees? Because we already know that Dan had said, Dan Reed, the director, said he contacted their law office. So the law firm that's representing them both, okay, are in cahoots with this film. Did they pay the family members?
People who were featured in Surviving R. Kelly. Yeah, that's really weird. Do you want to at this time, because I know you said you wanted this to be around an hour, I'm going to play a little short clip, and then when we come back, do you want to open up the lines and allow other people ask you a few questions before do you have any final words before I play the audio clip, just to make sure you tell people, hey, this is exactly the point of today's show, this is the message I want to get out, and this is what should be understood, because I know Michael Jackson as well as I do.
One thing I want to talk about with Oprah, it's also about diluting the hate. Okay, so now since people are focusing on hating Oprah, there's less hate for HBO, there's less hate for AT&T, there's less hate for Wade and James now. People are focusing on her, you see? And also, I think it could be the beginning of Oprah's downfall, okay? Because you shouldn't have needed to do this. You should have known better, you know, Oprah. And now that she's done this, so many fans have said they're not watching her channel and she's mud to them. And a couple of more things, and then you can open up the line. There were the trailers that were for Leaving Neverland had four times as many thumbs down as thumbs up. Okay, that's strong. The ratings for the first night, Sunday night, are out. It did Walking Dead did 4.87 million. Leaving Neverland did 1.285 and ended up in third or fourth place for the night. Okay, so it is a dismal failure when you consider all the publicity surrounding it, because a lot of fans have said that they're not watching it, that they canceled their HBO service. Some of them even canceled their AT&T phone service. Okay, so So we're talking about a massive movement here of people seriously protesting two guys telling their story with not one opposing voice, okay? So with Oprah, I think maybe they're trying to get the money from her before she's getting up there. She's in the mid-60s, I think. And she's got to leave. We're all going to die one day, okay? So do they want to get the money from her before she passes and leaves it to them African girls? Okay, those schoolgirls in Africa, I don't know where she, I don't know what's in her will, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a pattern of the powers that be wanting to take down black people, okay? Don't want any more statues of Martin Luther King type, okay? It seems like right now that was so dirty and so salacious that they want all the Michael monuments taken. They want to burn down Neverland, and that's a whole nother financial situation that you probably don't have time to talk about, but you know, because they have just kind of demolished the purity of Neverland. Who would want to buy that? Because it was supposed to be a pedophile's sex haven, you know. So there's a lot going down. R. Kelly's going down. Bill Cosby has already gone down, you know. And these are our icons. And Oprah, she is the first black female superstar, first black female huge mega star. And maybe this is the beginning of the end for her. I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating. Okay, but we could take
Didn't calls. She just lose like $57 million the other day? Something like that.
With Weight Watchers?
And then she lost money last year, like a portion of her company last year.
And then she sold some more of her shares, and she doesn't own as much as she once owned. Yeah, so she's holding on, you know. So this could just be a long 10 to 20-year plan to get the money from her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They tried to get it from Michael Jackson, too. And it's a shame that racism still is sickening like that. If we we earn the money, doggone it, let us keep our money and let us keep it for our legacy and our children, too. Okay.
Right.
So anyway, but we'll go ahead.
Thank you so much, Sifar. I appreciate you. All right, so let's take a quick audio break. When we come back, we'll open up the lines. Please press the number one. We got a time for a few questions before we wrap today's show. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Okay, so here's the thing that I think it's so hard for people who have not had this kind of trauma or experience in their lives to understand. And that is, if you were abused, why would you continue to want to be around the person? I think one of the things that the Michael Jackson's estate is saying about you now is that you, Wade, had tried to get a job working with his organization or going on tour. Why would you want to continue? Can you explain to people why you want to continue the association if you have been abused?
I had no understanding of it being abuse. You know, I loved
him.
And all the times that I testified and, you know, the many, many times that I gushed over him publicly in interviews or whatever it may be, that was from a real place, you know? While never forgetting any of the sexual details that happened between us, but having no understanding that it was abuse, having no concept in my mind that anything about Michael could ever be bad. Anything that Michael did was right to me for so many years.
Yeah, guys, that was a clip from Oprah's segment, which aired on March 4th. So that's the question I pose today, because I truly, truly feel like Oprah is actually asking her inner child that question. If you were abused, why would you want to continue the association? That's the question I ask, because I am totally oblivious as to why she would do this to the family or continue a relationship with Michael, when I'm thinking today, she never, never, ever forgave him for being allegedly, you know, whatever it is, this monster that, whether it was the public, social media, what have you, the court system, this monster that they created. So, yeah, that's the million-dollar question. If you were asked, why would you want If you were abused, why would you want to continue the association, Oprah? That's the question I posed. All right, so 312-714, welcome to the show. State your name, and then, yeah, you're welcome to ask a question.
Hey, this is Marlon. How are you, ladies?
Hi.
Fine.
Hello, Marlon.
Hey, Pearl, it's Marlon. You and I talk on your page every day. How are you?
Marlon Nunn, how are you?
That is correct. I am doing fantastic. Pearl, I agree with everything that you're saying about Oprah's daddy. But before I get into that, let me put this in perspective. My partners and I, we do a lot of investigative work. We work with the detectives, everything like this here. Harvey Weinstein works with some very powerful people, and they put out a lot of false information about Michael Jackson in order to take the heat off him.
Yeah.
Okay? That is documented. That's a proven fact.
Yes.
Years ago, when Michael had Thriller out, they tried to pay Emmanuel Lewis and his family to say that Michael abused him.
Right.
Emmanuel Lewis refused to do it. There was a gentleman here in Chicago. He was on the radio station with Ed Radoliak. They used to host a radio show together. Ed Radoliak is probably one of the most disgusting human beings that you could ever meet. But, you know, I'm not going to even get into all that. Ty Wansley, who is black, who is no longer with us, said that he was sitting in the back row and his cousin that used to be with the Fifth Dimension was sitting beside him, and they saw Michael Jackson fondle Emmanuel Lewis on the American Music Awards. I'm like, are you kidding me? This brother is on worldwide television fondling.
And they did nothing. And they did nothing about it.
Yeah. I got word back to Emmanuel Lewis, and I think they threatened to sue Ty Wansley because he used to work in Los Angeles, and I don't know if why he came back to Chicago, but they ran him out of Los Angeles. This is a – I'm going to tell you something now. Michael is a smart businessman. He pretended to be childlike, and why? Because that's how you sell 50 million to 100 million copies when you produce an album. You sell to kids, teenagers,
that's
adults.
Right. That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Ain't no way
white, black. That's right.
Yeah, there's no way in the world that anybody would be childlike, and this man is running a corporation. He's running a corporation.
Well,
you know,
he was childlike.
Yeah,
he was childlike, but he knew what he wanted. He was
master.
He was very motivated as a child. He was very motivated as a kid. You got to remember, Marlon, Jackie, and Jermaine had a group, right? At the singing group. Michael was many years younger. Michael, they was like, no, you can't be in the group, Michael. You too little. Michael was like, well, watch this then, okay, at 5 years old. He sang at the talent show. He sang it so good, practice, knew every word, every note. And then not only was he admitted into his brother's singing group, he became the lead singer. So even though Michael was a child, he still had goals. And even though he was childlike, he still had goals. So those two are not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
But you did. People lie. People will lie. And if somebody did see Michael doing that, what you do about it? Nothing. You just turned away. You see. So stop. You know. Stop. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Wade said also that he was molested just about every time, going
from
90 all the way to 97, I think. So that means that when he met with Michael in 96, he was molested every time they met. I put a video on your page.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. I put a video on your page, Pearl, that shows that Wade is here in the United States back in 1996 at Tower Records buying Michael's history CD. Michael was over in Bucharest.
Without Wade.
Exactly.
And then... And then they want to talk about all this. When they came out here, Michael sponsored their visa, and they came out here after Joy begged Michael to do that. They expected Michael to pay all their bills. Michael put him up in a Oakwood, and they thought Michael was going to pay for the Oakwood apartments. Michael was like, they ended up having to pay it. They thought Michael was going to rent them a car, and rent your own car. And then Michael started hiring Wade for professional gigs to be in the black and white video, to help him with the promotion of LA Gear. You know what I mean? It was a working relationship. At the end of Michael's concerts, a whole bunch of kids would get on the stage and would dance. You see, not just Wade and not just James. So they're mixing up regular work, and they're minimizing the work that Michael had them do in Michael's commission of doing his work. And they wanted to make it seem like it was such a sexual relationship. And wait, we can't forget this one. I got to say this one. I don't think I brought it. Michael dated two of, Wade dated two of Michael's nieces. Two of them. One of them, Michael set up at the age of 12. Wade had liked Brandy when he was 10 years old, but they were too little to date. So by the time they got 12, Michael hooked them up. And when Wade was in town or Wade was over, so was Brandy. And they were together from age 12 to age 19 when Wade started cheating on her with Britney Spears. Now, wait a minute. They want to talk about the sex, the love, and the grooming and first sexual experience and all this homosexual stuff. None of the kids grew up around Michael gay. And if you can be gay anywhere, it's in Hollywood and it's as a dancer, okay? So that it doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense because if somebody grooms you and treats and teaches your body to get excited to with male-on-male companionship, that's what your body naturally, and we're not talking about a little molestation here or one here or one there or two or three. We're talking about them saying hundreds of times. So that's some conditioning for your butt. So why are not only Wade and James not gay, but none of the other boys are either? Macaulay's not. Emmanuel Lewis is not. Brett Barnes is not. The Francias aren't. So where is this homosexual grooming coming from? Because you would think that if Michael was doing all homosexuality, that all of them would be gay.
And Pearl, here's the situation. This is not about child molestation. This is about trying to get Michael's assets. Michael did music.
But he already sold the Sony. Wait, I got to stop. Michael already sold half of the Sony catalog. That's already sold.
Right.
Okay, that was sold in 1996. So, then the EMI was sold within a year after that. The only thing Michael owns right now is his MyJack catalog, which there are some other artists in his MyJack catalog, but he owns the MyJack catalog. Okay, I think it is about homosexuality, and I think it is about promoting man-boy sex as being normal because
you're taking the words right out of my mouth. Did you know that they're trying to pass a law now? It's called NAMBLA, and I think you just mentioned
NAMBLA.
What it means.
Yes.
They're trying to legalize where grown men now can have sex with 14-year-old girls or 14-year-old boys. Now,
that's right. MAMLA is man boy. MAMLA is man boy. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they're still trying to put that law on the books.
Yeah, they are.
And
yeah.
And now let's get to David Geffen. Do you know that years and years ago, David Geffen tried to make a pass at Michael Jackson, and Michael Jackson cussed his butt out and called him every derogatory name in the book?
It could be true. David was bold like that. Right, Michael was not a homosexual. He even said, I'm not a homosexual, I'm not gay, I'm a black American. Michael said, I don't do kids, okay? Those are Michael's words, but those words weren't in this Leaving Neverland.
And what they tell you is that there are telephone records going back to show you that June Chandler called Michael more than he called her. And, Pearl, you're right. In order for a man to get next to a woman, you got to kind of, hey, bring your kids on over. Let's sit down and talk about it. He was trying to get next to June. And that's,
yes,
that's
he was. That is absolutely the truth. That came out in the 2005 trial that Michael was trying to get next to June. But Michael calls a lot. Michael is a telephone person. Michael loves the telephone, okay? So I believe that Michael probably called her a lot too, because you Michael, once Michael was on your radar and he liked you and you were a part of his world, he'd call you all every day. He'd call you every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
You know,
so, wow, Marlon, thank you so much. You're wonderful.
No,
I'm glad to finally hear your voice.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlon. Hang tight, because I might have a second for you to give us your final words. 858-322, 858-322, your mic is live.
Yes, how you doing? This is Ali. I'm down here in San Diego right now. Just checking out and listening. Yeah, I just want to say, I appreciate anything that anybody's doing to support and protect Michael Jackson. You know what I mean? I really appreciate anybody that's trying to stand up for him. Also, Pearl, I wanted to ask you, we know somebody that also is similar to you, but they wrote, movies and scripts about Michael Jackson. And I wanted to ask you, did you think Michael Jackson is alive?
I know Michael Jackson is alive. And I know that Michael Jackson faked his death because he was sick of dealing with BS like this. I have been searching for nearly 10 years looking for proof that Michael Jackson is dead, and there is none. But there's plenty of proof that he's alive, and that's why I produced three documentaries called the Alive Trilogy of Michael Jackson Documentaries. And the first one was Alive, Is Michael Jackson Really Dead? That one aired on Netflix from 2011 to 2013. And independently, only because I have a hard time trusting distributors nowadays, I released, and I got contracts that I did not sign, but I released Alive 2 and Alive 3 myself. And Alive 2 goes through the Murray trial. It goes through everything that should prove that Michael is dead that doesn't. It goes through why the cause of death had to be propofol intoxication. And it proves that it gives you valid, common sense evidence that it was a body double. And then in Alive 3, and the photoshops of the death photos, oh, it's so good. It's so smart. And I recommend people to watch it. And then Alive 3 is, who is Michael today, right? And so I have my friend Peter Michael Bobby, I show you plenty of evidence that he is Michael Jackson using aliases, masks, disguises, decoys. But for whatever reason, he wanted me. He chose me because I have a media license to pretty much do all the fun things with, because I kept crying to prove to me who you are. And you will find some wonderful things that he's done with me, his family, several family members, and me and his estate, and you'll find out a lot of stuff, and so you can judge for yourself if you believe that is Michael. I'm already 150% convinced that it is, but it's up to everybody else to take the information and make their own conclusion. Oh, and I also did a movie called Prisoner of Fame, which I haven't released yet. I've only released the trailer, but it shows how Michael switched out the body, you know. So it's really good. So I can't wait to release that for you guys. But I decided to let this kind of, mull over before I do anything more with Prisoner of Fame. And thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, let me ask you. Just did one more thing, and I'll let you go. One more thing, did we ever get that information to you about the ambulance that had taken off that day of work?
No, never. No, I never got that information. But
Janet was going to get that information. So you was on the Michael Gay Show about a week ago, right?
Right. They never got it to me, and I never served a Freedom of Information Act because I'm not sure if it's that important. Then I got sidetracked. Yeah. I got sidetracked with the Leaving Neverland.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they still messing with Mike, but I appreciate you, ma'am. I really do. If I could see you, I'd give you a hug. I won't say cyber. I'm going to say spiritual. I won't say cyber because I want to make sure I hug you. But I talked to you several times before, and I'm on your team. And, hey, God, the Most High stay with you, be with you, and you continue to fight for Mike, and that's what we need, fighters for Mike instead of all these people that's trying to exploit to get paid.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Ali. I appreciate that. We got time for one more question, and then, like I said, I would like for you and Marlon to give us some final thoughts because I think he's got some more updates, and I definitely want to get your contact information. 818-613-818-613. You're live. Please state your name and give us your comment or question.
Hi, this is Philo the Great calling out of Nashville, Tennessee. How are you doing, Valerie?
Hey, blessed and favored. Hey, Philo.
Hey, I got a question for Ms. Pearl Jr.
Yes.
What do you got to say to Oprah Winfrey? Like, this ain't, we not regulated by the FCC, so let her have it. What do you got to say? And talk directly to Oprah.
Oprah, what I would really say to Oprah is I really appreciate everything that you've done. You have done a lot of good things with your life. You've paid for, you know, people's college educations. You are somewhat of a therapist for people. You have brought light to a lot of things, but you are wrong when it comes down to Michael Jackson. And you really, before you continue to use him as a poster boy, so that you can bring light to a topic that might be passionate to you, you probably should research to see if there's really any real proof where you can say that Michael is a molester. And if you can't find any proof, and I'm here to tell you, someone who's been looking for 14 years, there isn't any, okay? But if you can find some, then okay, I get it. But without you having any proof, you're using Michael. You're using him. And you're hurting him, and you're hurting his family, and you really should be responsible for what you do, you know. And you should explain to people that you did not have the right to insinuate to millions of people that he was guilty. You don't have that right. You were irresponsible to do that. Perception is one thing, but just like we can perceive you to be an angry black woman, but once we get to know you, maybe you're not. You see what I'm saying? Everybody has a stereotype, but you got to really get to know a person, especially if you're going to go in front of millions of people and you're going to side the opposite of what Michael Jackson really is. He was just someone who mentored kids, and he wanted to live his own little childhood, and he was like a kid like the rest of them, but he was also a smart businessman as well.
Right, not to mention the 100 abuse survivors in the audience that were strategically placed.
That was a low blow.
During the episode, yeah, that was, yeah. Marlon, do you have anything? I know that you've been out there on the, you know, out here on the battleground, so to speak, for quite some time, and the two of you have had your banter. Do you have anything you'd like to say to Oprah?
I would like to say to Oprah, open up your eyes, pay attention. This, Jordy Chandler was not, they tried to make him to be the first, but they tried to do it with Emmanuel Lewis and it didn't work. Open up your eyes and see what's going on. And who are you to talk about Michael settling a case when you went and paid? I don't know if you guys talked about this or not. She paid out almost, what, $100,000 to settle
the
case?
No, it's 50. Yeah, I did bring it up. Yes, I did. $50,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's rumored that her daddy is involved in a pedophile ring. Look, Corey Feldman and others told Michael Jackson who abused him, how they were abused. Michael knew a lot of stuff. He was about to bring a lot of people down. And when they found that out, all of a sudden now Santa Barbara goes and raids his house. You do know that the late Tom Steadman, he was covering up for a lot of child molesters in Santa Barbara. That's documented.
Mm-hmm.
So what is really going on here. See, I can't believe that they're going to try to frame Michael and do this and that because this man knows how to sing and dance. It's something else to this. Michael owns more than just that catalog. I keep telling people this. They are using kiddie porn so that they can probably get this in a court and find out his other assets that people don't know. I'm willing to bet you this is what all this is about.
Well, the estate does file, just to let you know. I don't know what's not filed, but there is, with the estate and probate, there is accounting that they've been filing every year. And it lists Michael's assets. It lists his assets. So it's public knowledge of what his assets are.
Farrell, I don't know how well you know the people on the on that estate. I wouldn't trust that estate as far as I can throw them. Now, I don't know how well they know John McClain, because I know John McClain is a black man. I don't know if he's the decision maker or not. But
He's 50-50 with John Branca. 50-50. But I don't even want to go into that. That's a whole different, oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God. We were supposed to be on here an hour, and it's an hour and a half. So, I don't even want to open that can of worms.
You know, I will say they hijacked out of state. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm going to save that for another show. I'll save that for another show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pearl Jr., definitely give us your contact information. And, again, this is your opportunity if you've got any final words. Anything you want to say to Wade or to HBO or the 100 survivors or the people who are kind of on, you know, they love Michael Jackson but are not totally convinced that he is not the monster that you know, that people say he is. So, could you do so at this time?
Well, I put my money where my mouth is, and I have paid for all my products to be made. So if you want to know what happened in the 2005 trial, I have a documentary called Michael Jackson, The Trial and Triumph of the King of Pop. That's available on Vimeo.com. But you can go to my website, Michael Jackson Insider. com, and it should link you to all my documentaries, to the Alive trilogy, Alive 1, 2, and 3. It'll link you. I also wrote a book called Suicide, Did Michael Jackson Fake His Death to Save His Life? And also you can see the trailer to my short film called Prisoner of Fame, because Michael really was a prisoner of his own fame. So please look me up at MichaelJacksonInsider.com.
Yeah, and the
and my, oh my final word, my final word. Uh-huh. You used to ask for right. Final words. Well, what I would say to Wade and Jimmy, just stop, okay? Wade is so into this, and he's pulling Jimmy along, and Jimmy is just kind of there for the ride, and he's, you know, emotionally unstable. I just feel like Wade, you know, it's gone far enough. And are you going to be able to live with yourself, you know, 6 months from now? Because they still got two court dates this year for appeals, and I don't see how they're going to win any money, especially after this was their bomb pass, their Ollie Ollie Oxen free pass, where they decided that they were going to make the most salacious documentary and make Michael look as guilty as they possibly could. In order to leverage that for the estate to settle. And the estate is not going for it because a bully never stops bullying when you give in to him. So, Wade, please stop. Oprah, owe it to yourself. Have your private investigators, hire some people to really look into the Michael Jackson situation and know from facts if Michael Jackson is guilty or not. And if you don't find anywhere where he's guilty, it's not that you didn't look everywhere. It's because he's not. Because he's not. Okay? And those are my final words.
Right. And it just seems like 2019, that seems to be the kind of underlying tone, you know, pedophilia. You had R. Kelly. You had Jussie talking about young gay boys. You got, this Michael Jackson case. And, I mean, we're just in the third month of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're just taking down a lot of very powerful black men. So are you saying that you're not I don't know even know if I asked you that, but do you think that there's a pattern there of some sort, or you think it's strategic? I don't know.
Yeah, I believe that Hollywood has a lot of perverts. I believe Hollywood has a lot of perverts. Because this right here, this was a perverted child pornography movie without pictures, not without images of young kids, but the way that they explained it and they expressed it is very salacious. And Dan Reed has done other salacious sex movies, sex documentaries. He also did one called The Pedophile Hunters. Okay, so this is all a pattern.
Gotcha.
He was chosen for a reason, and the whole movie is nothing but a pure manipulation where they're trying to get the recruits from people that thought Mike was guilty in 2005 and using a lot of those same terms, and it's just a straight manipulation when all it is just two men's stories, and the star of the movie is Michael Jackson. And for Dan Reed to say this is not about Michael Jackson shows you how much full of horse manure he really is.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Pearl Jr. I appreciate you. Again, it's an honor, you know, you affording me this opportunity to chat with you again. And, yeah, if you got any more updates, please, please, please give me a call and let's chat. Let's let the people know what's really, really going on, because you're the one person who knows what's going on behind the scenes. And we appreciate your dedication.
And one last comment. I'd like to thank Marlon and the other callers for calling in, but I'd like to thank Marlon for bringing up the Harvey Weinstein point, because Harvey Weinstein did use Michael Jackson, and he was right that it's well documented. He did use Michael Jackson as a diversion away from his own troubles. And right now, the trouble isn't on Harvey Weinstein. The focus is on Michael Jackson. So Michael Jackson is being used again. Okay, to hide other people's dirty deeds. And Marlon brought that up. And I thank him for that. Okay.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, are you now going to go over to your YouTube channel? Can you go on and give a shout-out so we'll know, just in case you go and you go live and you know, do your thing? Because I know that you said you were going to go live on your channel. So what's the name of your channel?
I put it up. I go live on my Facebook page, but the name of my channel is Pearl Jr. And if you want to find me on my Facebook, Pearl Jr., Pearl Jr., you can just Google it and you'll find my Facebook page, you'll find my Twitter page, you'll find my YouTube page. And I just thank everybody for participating and the fans, and everybody has just been wonderful under this very, very, very stressful time as supporters of Michael Jackson.
All right.
And I thank you, Valerie. I thank you.
Yes.
I thank you
thank
for
you.
The opportunity.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yes, thank you so much. So I hope you have a great rest of the day. And don't let Oprah upset you too much. Definitely not.
Well, I'm more upset
at
Wade and James.
Your bed and rest easy, huh?
I'm more upset at Wade and James than I am Oprah.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Totally understand. Yeah, but thank you. And I hope that people got something from this. Definitely, here's your round of applause for make my little outro and grab the other callers to get their final words as well. But yeah, thank you so much. Again, I love you to life, and it was an honor and a pleasure, and I learned a lot. You had a paper full of notes. So I will send you the links. And yeah, we're going to post some things up, because like I said, people need to know what's going on, because I always say real people die in fake movies, and I think this is one of those cases, because this is really, really, really sad. If something else is going on and then they're showing us something different, and using somebody like Oprah, who we hail, you know, and think it's a wonderful, like she's the third, you know, coming or something like that. Yeah, it would be really, really sad if they're using her for something else. So, learned a lot. Thank you, Pearl. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, then. Bye-bye.
So, Philo and Ali, do you guys want to give us some final words before we wrap? Because I think that's it. I think we said everything that needed to be said.
Well, I just want to say, to Oprah, from Ali, Rev Ali Seaton, to Oprah, right here on your show. Oprah, Michael Jackson should have never gave you an interview, ever. And to the other guy he gave an interview to, he should have never gave an interview to him either. So I want to let them know, you should have never been at Michael Jackson's house, Oprah Winfrey.
Yes. Yeah, and I second that. Let me give you a applause for that. I don't understand how she was like in their face for decades, you know? And then she does this. That's but we just talked about that today. Remember we were talking about how these wolves in sheep's clothing and how they could just lie dormant for all these years and never develop a conscious, no love for people. You know, I don't know how people can maintain that kind of a secrecy. You know what I'm saying? Like agenda. It's something. How can you do that for so long and you don't like you're human. You're especially melanated people. We're love. We represent love. This is not who we are. You know what I'm saying? This is not part of our genetic code. It's not part of our what's deeply embedded in us. You know, we are the earth. We are, again, love. Jesus, it start with us. It's going to end with us. How is it we could pull this off? I do not get it. But I guess, you know, when, like she said, beware of the people who you want to be around your children. I don't think it's just children. I think it's adults, too. Beware of the people who you are around. And also she said, if you were abused, why would you want to continue the association? Again, I think she was talking to herself. God, she might be doing like Quincy Jones, Ali and Philip. talking outside of her neck.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. With Oprah Winfrey, man, I really believe by her being in the, you know, probably the 2% of Americans in wealth, I believe she got a certain job to do, and she was given an assignment to dig up what she did, and it's unfair that she pulled it at this time, they did it at this time, to a man who can't defend himself, right? So, like Pearl Jr. told us, Mike went to trial for all this stuff and was found innocent, was not found guilty at all. Now that he's gone, they won't let the man still rest in peace, rest in heaven, rest in peace. Just rest. Just rest, period. Let the man rest. Period. Let the man rest.
Pearl says he's still alive.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. See, that's what's going to keep this going. That's what's going to keep people chiming in. Because you got people like me who think he's dead. But you got Pearl saying, oh, no, I got proof. I got more proof he's alive than I have proof that he's dead. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But all I can say is this. I thank Pearl Jr. for coming through, sharing her knowledge, sharing her research, giving her viewpoints, her opinions, and really letting it be known how she feels about Oprah Winfrey and speaking directly to Oprah Winfrey. So, Oprah, what you got to say? You know you wrong. You know you wrong. What you got to say to yourself? Huh? And I'm signing off like that. Philo the Great. Follow me on everything. PH like phone, ELOTHEGREAT on our social media sites. Get with it, quit it, barbecue me, do something with someone, something, do something. Don't fool with me because you're cool with me. Don't fuck with me because you're stuck with me. Go.
Yeah, and on that note, I think we are done. People, I don't know. Take away from this what you're going to take away from it. I don't know. It's not our job to convince you which side to be on, but just, you know, proceed with caution, and wherever your heart leads you, it leads you. And to the victims or, you know, the survivors of the 100 people who are in the audience and everybody who's ever experienced anything that was discussed today, you know, my heart goes out to you. My prayers are for and with you. And I just pray that, you know, God or whatever you believe in, that hand is on your life and it anoints you in such a way that, you know, you won't remain a victim, that you will be a victor and you can share your story and save other people, you know, from instances like this, because it's not fair. And I hope and pray, I don't know what the agenda is, but for those people who cannot speak up for themselves, I don't think that, you know, it's good that adults make decisions for them, especially sexually. But, you know, that's just me. Wow. This is a bigger story I don't think we have enough time. But, guys, just have a great rest of the night and a better week, rest of the week. Valerie Denise Jones, stumbling over my words because I'm hurt. I'm really, really hurt because I love Michael, and I hate that this is happening to him. So 929-477-1167, 929-477-1167. Have a great rest of the day. We will see you guys on Friday, yeah. We got Dion Warwick in the building, and also Riza Islam is coming back on Friday. He will be on the Judge Joe Brown show on Friday. So just stay tuned. Yeah, stay close, and we'll try and keep you as up to date as possible. Have a great rest of the night. And for those people who did not press the one and who hung out with us until the end, thank you so much for your time and attention. And I hope that you take this conversation, you know, take it to your social media, share it, keep talking. Let's just keep this word out because we are all we've got. We're it. It's us against them, whoever them they are. It's us against them, right? So let's stand together. United we stand, divided we fall. All right, so that's it. We are out of here. I'm actually looking for Friday's commercial, which I cannot stand. I can't find, and it's really, really sad that I cannot. So I think what I'm just going to do is just say good night, people.
Let me bid you good night.
Good night.